if we take any city or town or any locality, any village or a very big town or district, then according to that, proportionate to that, there are as many routes and paths to reach there. If there is a village, a small town, then you will see that just a small, maybe dirt track is enough, and a person, people, they know the way and they go from there, they come from there, and the horse carts go on that and people walk on that route. But if it's a big town or city, you will see there's more facilities, resources to arrive to that city. There'll be more ways, more routes. Maybe there's a metropolitan, maybe Bombay, Karachi, London, the big cities, the international cities, and you'll see that there are many ways and routes, roads to access very quickly, easily. Doesn't want to stop, person wants to get there. So what we realize is that the bigger the city or the town, the more the paths and the ways, so that individuals, humans, don't stop and they can keep on arriving and reaching. So my brothers, here a thought arises that to reach Allah, how many paths there must be to reach Allah. There's no greater destination, no greater objective. This is the reality that us, our objective from birth and our creation is this, to attain Allah. To attain Allah's qurb, His nearness. خَلَقَ الْجَنَّ وَالْإِنسَنَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. This is the objective Allah has told us clearly, not eating, drinking, clothes, food, bread, wife, children. This is not the objective. We have forgotten our objective. When a human being goes astray, always, when he goes astray, when he forgets his path and destination. If you sit on a mode of transport and you don't know where to go, you don't know where to get off, disembark, then tell me, how will you go on that journey? If you don't even know where you're going, won't even be able to move. So first of all, before the journey starts, there's an objective, an aim. There's an objective that I have to reach to this destination. So Allah Ta'ala said in advance, on birth, that I gave you birth, life, إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that you have to attain my nearness, you have to seek my qurb in this world. In this world. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَكُمْ بِشَيْمٍ. Allah says that there's only one objective I've given to you. Remember this. Your maqsad is to attain on his butt. At the same time, there are many big hurdles on the way. There will be barriers on the way to attain this objective. Nothing else. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Challenges. Tests. What's a test? Tell me. For example, a test, it's not permanent on a person. When somebody's challenged or given a test, then it's temporary, for a short time. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala tests that individual. Yes, a test is always for what? To a challenge, a hurdle, to test that person. Allah Ta'ala says that these things, there will be sometimes hunger, sometimes distress, sometimes different ways, different modes Allah Ta'ala can give issues. We don't know how Allah Ta'ala will challenge us, test us. He knows, according to His hikmah, He will implement that. It could be distress or illness or issues. We don't know. We can't count. This countless, Allah knows best. We cannot know. But there's this much we do know. That Allah has told us our objective. Where do we have to arrive to? Allah, we have to attain Allah's qurb. We have to embark on this journey. And in this journey, hurdles will come. Restrictions will come. But what will they be? What a great thing. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. They will be just tests on the way, subhanAllah. Tests. Yes, examinations. We don't think the examinations, we think, oh, that's it. Suddenly we hopeless. Immediately we give up. Oh, I'm finished. Oh, I've lost everything. What's going to happen now? I'm finished. I can't do anything. Rather, we should think, Allah says, it's a test. Small challenge. A little hurdle, a bump on the road. Allah says, I just want to see you, how you react. Yes, because Allah says that I want to see how sadiq you are, how sincere you are, how prepared you are to go on this journey. It's nothing to be afraid of, Don't get afraid, Allah says. Don't have fear. Rather, Allah says, in this test, you need to pass these examinations on the journey. You have to. But what do we do? Oh, no, my business has collapsed. Oh, Salah's gone. Allah's remembrance is gone. Everything is gone. Rather, everything a person finishes, oh, this has happened to me. That's happened to me. And he gives up and he gives everything away. If only we understood that life is not going to be smooth. Allah Ta'ala has already told us this. Allah says, you can't follow the life according to your desires, the way you want. Allah says, it will not happen. What a great fact. If we can understand this fact, then all the issues will evaporate and disappear. Why can't I get this job? Why don't I get a partner? Why can't I find a wife? Why can't I get married? Why is this not happening? Why is my business not flourishing? Why have I not got a child? Why haven't I got a son? Why not two? Why not a daughter? In other words, human being, weird thoughts, weird desires, just have one point and objective, subhanAllah. That whatever is happening, that's fine. I have no issues. I just have to pass through this. At the end of the day, I have to pass through this test. It's not permanent. There's no sickness, nor happiness, nor the squeeze, nor being wealthy. If wealth comes, then don't just say, oh, I'm rich now, I'm the man, I've got so many businesses, this is my son here, look at this second son of mine, here's my third son, oh, I've got my children wed off, I've achieved this and that, big head. But Allah Ta'ala says, when there's a peak, then there's always a drop one day. You know, there's a couplet, a verse, that don't look how you've gone to the peak, to the height, because everything that goes high eventually has to come back down to the lower height. Yes? Everyone that goes high has to come down as well. So this, if we see a straightforward point here that's been told to us, if you want to reach to Allah Ta'ala. Now, our main objective is what, brothers? This is a class, this is a small class of tasawwuf that we have, my brothers. MashaAllah. This is a small circle. You should sit with a pencil and paper to write down the points. This is our class. That whoever wants to sit with love and wants to learn, he can learn with the blessings of Allah, with Allah's grace. We are all students, talib ilm. We are here gathered for one objective. There's no one from outside, stranger. Every one of those people with the people of the hearts who have this desire, the people of the hearts who all want that we want to arrive to Allah. We don't want to say bad to anyone, we don't want to elevate anyone, don't look up at anyone, look down at anyone. We just want to do one action, that how do we get to Allah? How do we arrive to Allah? That's the objective. Whoever wants to go with this objective, please come with happiness. If you don't want to go with that, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So lakum deenukum alideen, your path is this and our path is this. You go on your path and we'll go on our path. Nothing to fight about, nothing to quarrel about, isn't it, brothers? Yes, all you are my friends, aren't you? You are my good friends? Solid friends? Put your hands up if you are my friends. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Okay, so let's continue. Sit down, talk to each other. So what are we talking about today? What's our discussion? Today what we're talking about is that our objective is to attain Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness. And this is a path, a way. And to go to the biggest city, to travel there, there are many paths and routes and roads. So then tell me, how many paths will there be to arrive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me, how many? We just think there's a few ways, few methods. But to arrive to Allah, there's an example that your breath, the amount of times you breathe, more than that, there are ways to arrive to Allah. Why? Because Allah doesn't want the traffic to stop. Whoever wants to travel, Allah says, I don't want the traffic to stop. This is the way. Oh look, there's a jam here. There's a jam, we can't get through. Now we only know one way. We think, put the prayer mat under armpit, buy a ticket and go to Medina, do Umrah. And there's no other third or fourth way we know. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, according to your desires and your preferences, I've made routes to reach to me. Allah says, first look at your preference, your style, your manners. Look, for example, when your hearts don't meet, if there's no compatibility and passion, then it's difficult to get on with each other. But when your hearts attach and meet, then the journey becomes easy. Isn't it? For example, if you want friendship with someone or friend of Allah, first see that, is there a connection between me and him? Is there compatibility, a connection? Do we overlap? If you see there's a clash, then step back. Say, oh, in my heart, against his heart, there's a difference. Forget it. I don't want to waste time on wasting his time and wasting my time. Let's go on another path and let's seek somebody else. through where there's I've got understanding and he's got understanding, that we've got some common denominator. But if there's opposition from day one, then you're wasting time. The work, because this is the game of the heart. Yes, the game of love. And in this, the biggest requirement is faith to attain the blessings. Where does the faith come from? It goes from one heart to the other heart. Yes? It when we do maraqabah, when we do dhikr maraqabah, then from the shaykh, you are drawing on the faiz from the shaykh. And the shaykh, he distributes the faiz to the murids, to the students at the time of maraqabah. The pious predecessors have told us, I'm not saying this. I'm not making this up. It's munakkas, these things. As soon as you close your eyes, maraqabah, the storm will brew and the nur starts to exchange and flow. And this is called faiz, blessings. Attaining the blessings. That's why I stated that the sheikh, to sit next to the sheikh in the tarbiyah, you get the sohbat, the connection, the company. You cannot get it away from there. That 1 second in the company of the wali of Allah. 1 moment in the company. Nobody became sahabi like that. There was no one who was sahabi who didn't see Rasulullah. Even if he had sohbat, even if he was very young, he didn't know anything. But he became a sahabi because no one can come after him until the end of time. Because he was sahabi, he became the star in the sky of the Prophet ﷺ, because he had the sohbat physical. And subhanallah, he had the sohbat of Imamul Anbiya. Imagine the current, the energy flowing in the sahaba. Current, phase, it flows like electricity. Person doesn't know where he goes, how he is achieving. So same way, the awliya Allah, the walis Allah of Allah, their sohbat, their connection, their company, the speciality of the company of the waliya. If you haven't even arrived there for a second, and inside if you have passion and jazba and desire, and you're not hypocrite, not munafiqat, reality, you want to attain Allah's nearness, then it doesn't take long. Alhamdulillah. That's why I said 1 moment in the company of the wali Allah. 1 moment. 1 second. Not years. Not 1 year. 1 moment is such that it makes the person achieve. Imagine what is in the hearts of the walis of Allah. We don't know. Imagine the nur that suddenly it flows to the heart of the student. His character changes. Reformation takes place. All the idols are crushed inside the heart. Kufr evaporates. Iman and yaqeen come strong into that person. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is the situation. So Allah Ta'ala said, I've created many paths and routes to attain my qurb. Not a few. And every one of you can follow that path according to your preference and style. And there's one path, my friends, one way, one route to Allah, that it's amazing, subhanallah. It's such a fantastic path to arrive to Allah, that maybe compared to that, there's no faster route that takes us to Allah than this one. Maybe there's not a faster one. Very fantastic and strong path. But I say it's very difficult. I've seen people follow this path. Yes, we haven't even arrived to that path yet. We don't even consider it a method to attain Allah's nearness. We don't consider it a method. That's the sad thing. And it is such a brilliant path and route to Allah, that if you leave all of the paths and you adopt this path, all the awliya Allah, the greatest wali Allah, Qutb, Ghawth, Mujaddad, they all attained this status. Their start was on this path and their end was on this path. This route. Will you tell me what this path is, this method is? Or shall I tell you? It's a unique, specific path. And if you grab all of that, if I grab it, you grab it as well, this path, this route. And see how Allah Ta'ala's qurb we attain, alhamdulillah. Allah's name is, if you embark on this path, what is that? Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, His mercy, don't lose hope in Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy, always be hopeful of Allah's mercy. This is the name of this path. Yeah, you know, praying salah, reciting Quran, doing hajj, giving zakat. All of these are methods, aren't they? What is this method? To never lose hope in Allah's mercy. It is a fantastic path, this is. A very unique path. A brilliant method of practice. Believe me. It's the first phase that when the Sahaba Ikram took the company of the Prophet, this was the first phase they attained. That never lose hope in Allah's mercy. In other words, Allah's mercy, be hopeful in attaining it. Always have that desire. Allah's rahmah, be hopeful in Allah's mercy. This is the greatest path and method. And this path and method, if you grab hold of this method and practice, then all the tests, Allah says that all the challenges that will come, the tests and examinations give to you, you will pass every examination through this dunya. The most strongest of tests Allah Ta'ala has demonstrated through the family of a Nabi. Many people went to Karbala. They were hungry, thirsty, children passed away, house finished, outside everything, nothing remained, everything gone, finished in the desert, in the wilderness. Tell me, what a massive examination. And whose family? Imamul Anbiya's family, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha's family. Imagine the test. Not a small example Allah has given to the Ummah. That every single examination given to Hazrat Hussain, Imam Hussain, what was his final statement? His final statement, SubhanAllah, was what? Allah, you are not upset with me, are you? Because I am happy with your mercy. SubhanAllah. He put the stamp on this practice. End of story. Such a massive stress. And even if a person got big examination and issues, what should he be saying from his tongue? Allah, I'm hopeful in your mercy. Allah, I'm hopeful in your mercy, awaiting your mercy. That's it. Then will you get any difficulty, pain after that? Will you have any issues after that? Problems after that? This feeling and emotion, this is tasawwuf. When you develop this emotion inside yourself, and it comes into your life, then doesn't matter if the biggest problem comes to you, then you will never fail in overcoming that. Yes, our beloved master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed habit was this. In his seerah sharifa, we see this. Not a moment in his life was there such that Allah ta'ala's rahmah's mercy, he did not mention it. Not a second, a moment in his life that he didn't mention the mercy of Allah. In the hadith is stated that Rasulullah, he always sought Allah's rahmah. Whenever he spoke, then he would bring that discussion towards Allah's mercy. Massive lesson for us. He would always revert to Allah's mercy. Once it happened, an incident, there was a companion, and he brought the children, a bird's children, the chicks. And Rasulullah was rahmatul lil alameen. Yeah, rahmatul, not just rahmatul muslimin. It wasn't just rahmah for humans. He was rahmah for stones, boulders, trees. He was rahmah for the camels, rahmah for the fish, rahmah for every creature of the universe. Recognized him because he was rahmatul lil alameen. Mercy to the universe. Obvious. Nothing restricted in his rahmah. So the bird had no other way out, and the bird was desperate, and it came and it started to chirp. And in the court of the Prophet ﷺ, that, Ya Rasulullah, that one of your companions, he has taken my children. And what will happen to my children? Please return my children. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Imagine he presented its need. This event is happening. The bird and its chicks. And what did Rasulullah say? Who is this from a company? Who's brought the children? He's complaining. Go and return the children. And then, this incident, Allah's Nabi gave his example that every moment he was thinking about Allah's rahmah, he said, look, my companions, tell me that this bird, have you seen how it came desperately requesting the company of its children? And the Sahaba saw this. And Rasulullah said, look how much love he's got, so much immense love for his children, that he had no care. It came hastily, that return my children to me. And how much love that bird must have for its children. So Allah's Nabi said that your Rabb, your Lord, has more love than this for you. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala loves you much, much more than this. And rahmah He has for you, mercy. So why are we upset and distressed and feeling low? So this is the connection of the human being and his Rabb, Lord. But we get upset. Allah's done this to me. He's taken this from me. He said this to me. I've lost out. I'm finished. I'm dead. Look at the difference. And yaqeen, what we should have certainty and belief, faith, is Allah's rahmah is massive, vast. In a battle, there was a woman, a female, during an expedition. She was a sahabiya, mashallah, noble companion. And a child got lost. And this was a very young child who was drinking the milk of the mother. The child was lost. And she was the mother. She was upset, desperate, looking, screeching, screaming, my child, where has someone seen my child, my baby, my child? And the noise broke out. Allah's Nabi, this reached to the Holy Prophet. Imagine that woman whose child is, what's happened to the woman? The child is gone. So Rasulullah said to the Sahaba, look for this child. So there was one companion, he said, I know where the child will be. I'll bring the child. I'll go and look for this child. It didn't end there. So Allah's Nabi said that, look, O Sahaba, tell me, my companions, that imagine the mother, how she's desperate, immense love, she's looking, and she's forced with her love, she's running out looking for her child. Imagine how much love she's got for a child. And there's no gauge that can measure that love. You cannot measure it, you cannot weigh it, that how much love and muhabbat is in the heart of the mother for the child, that she's desperate. Obviously, mother has so much love for the child. A father has a lot of love for the children. Only they know. Mother, only the mother knows how much she loves the child. Child doesn't know, mother knows. Mother knows. Child doesn't know. That how much the mother loves. That forget, even despite the children saying bad things to the mother is desperate for the goodness of the child. There are thousands of mothers that they hear bad from the children. Even then they embrace and hug their children. They have love, muhabbat. So Rasulullah said, look how much love this mother has for the child. But there's no gauge that can measure it. You cannot determine the amount. You cannot determine. Rasulullah said that if she finds a child now, and then he gave this example as well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if she finds a child now, then I ask you a question, that would she put the child in the fire? The Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, how can this be? How can this be? She has so much love, and then she's detached and lost, and then when she finds him, she'll kiss him and hug him and squeeze him. She won't throw him into the fire. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your Rabb, also your Lord, he also loves you. More than this, how can he want you to go into Jahannam? How can Allah Ta'ala put you into Jahannam? So this is the real crux of the matter of the human being. You need to understand that our iman should be strong and kamil connection, complete relationship with Allah we should have. And we should have this emotion and thinking that my Rabb will not let me go into Jahannam, subhanAllah. How many of us have this belief today and this emotion today? Big sickness will come. My Rabb, he will not allow me to lose out. My Rabb will not let me go into the wilderness. Even if you've made a mistake, you say, no, my Rabb, my Lord. A mother loves the child so much, so how will my Rabb, my Lord, betray me? No, my Rabb will never leave me. Never tell something. This is the thinking we need to have. If this thinking is developed in our mind, Allah says, the way you think, I will make it to be like that. SubhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala says, if this feeling, do you understand the point I've just told you? Yes. So that's why we're gathered today, to learn these points so that we can understand all life long, that we can go, we spend time in the khanqah, in the company of the waliyullah. Remember this. These are the gifts and the presents we want to attain, to receive. Whoever has not achieved this from the khanqah or from the company of a sheikh, he's not attained anything. If we don't go there just to shout out and claim things. No, go with an objective. Say subhanAllah. Yes, when you have an objective, then when you say la ilaha illallah, after that it will give you the money. If you don't have an objective, then you just unthink and come back. We just go for thawab, this much reward, say this, recite this. Thawab is there. There's nothing compared to that. Allah Ta'ala's qurb, is that greater or is thawab greater? Tell me. What are you seeking? Tell me now. Is Allah Ta'ala's nearness better? Or greater, or just getting thawab for doing dhikr. We've forgotten our objective. Allah, my objective is to attain your nearness. No, anything Allah Ta'ala makes you do in the dunya, your wife, or issues in the world, or tasks, or work, there's one objective. Whatever you're doing in the world, through all of your actions, your objective is to attain Allah's nearness. Not thawab, but to attain Allah's nearness. From reciting Quran, your objective is to attain Allah's nearness. By prostrating, Allah's nearness. When you have this feeling and thought process 24 hours a day, then every salah will be accepted. Every talawat will be accepted. Because you have attained the understanding of your objective, and for that objective you're doing ibadah. Otherwise all of your actions will be thrown back on your face if you don't have this objective. I don't know if I'm making you understand what I'm saying. This is something from my heart. I don't know if I can put it into words. I'm a small scale person. I am not, got jurisprudence. I can't speak. I'm not technical. I'm so jahil. I'm not really learned. I'm just trying to, in simple words, share with you so we can understand this point. Don't want to waste your time. MashaAllah, you are pious people, learned people, busy people. I've just sat you down. I don't want to waste your time. So what I try and make effort is somehow the words of my heart reach to you. I've shared with you. So this is the way of thinking we need to develop. That I need to have hope in Allah, that Allah will not punish me. He will not give me azab. And rahma of Allah, mercy of Allah, when a person dies, all his deeds cease. His actions stop. We believe this, don't we? All actions stop when you die. But this is such an amal that even after death it benefits you when you have this hope and emotion. That even at that time when you have arrived to the door of hell, for example, even at that time you have this feeling, then you are turned away from the door of Jahannam. There was an individual. He passed away. He died. He departed from this world. It was decided on the day of judgment, the decision was made. When the decisions made of Jahannam was destined for him, angels put the chains around him, dragged him with his sins, and they dragged him towards the hellfire. Now when he was taken towards hellfire from behind, he kept on looking back, kept on looking back when he was being dragged. They're dragging him towards Jahannam, and he keeps turning back, looking back, looking back, turning his face, looking back. To this extent, when he arrived to the door of Jahannam, and they're just about to push him into hell, he then again turned and looked back. When he turned and looked back, then immediately Allah Ta'ala called out. Stop. Allah Ta'ala announced, stop. And he's right at the bank of Jahannam, the angel stopped suddenly. Allah said, bring him back. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The door of Jahannam he's arrived to. He's about to fall into Jahannam. The angel's about to push him in. And suddenly Allah calls out, bring him back. Bring him back, Allah says. And he heard this as well. And he was back in the court of Allah then. Taken back. Allah said, oh my servant, Allah is khabir and basir. He knows and he sees all. He is aware of everything. He knows everything. But Allah wanted his servant to say from his mouth, oh my servant, oh man, Allah said, that you were so dirty and pure, Jahannam was your destiny, you were given the punishment, and you were dragged by the chains. Why did you keep on looking back, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Why did you keep looking back when you were being dragged to hell? What was it that made you keep looking back? The more you were thrown towards Jahannam, you kept on looking back. He said, Ya Allah. He said, I kept on looking back. I wasn't in any position to even turn around and look back. But your rahmah mercy, I had total hope in your mercy, Allah. I had 100% hope because he revised this lesson while he lived in the world that we are revising today. That Allah, I was so hopeful in your mercy. I was so clear that your mercy will come to my aid and that you will help me. That you won't throw me into Jahannam. And I was solid on this feeling and belief. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. Imagine. So at that time when you called out, that bring it back. Then inside me was an announcement that your yaqeen has won. Your iman has won. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala, Allah spoke at that time, the angels heard, Allah said, this is truth. You had yaqeen like this? You were hopeful so much in Allah's mercy? He said, yes Allah, I believe. That's why I kept turning back and looking. Even when I arrived to the door of Jahannam, and I look back, why hasn't Allah called to me still to come back? Why hasn't he saved me yet? Subhanallah. So Allah said, angels, what should we do with him? They said, Allah, you know best. Allah said, that he who believes in Allah is Rahman and Rahim, and he's being dragged to Jahannam, then he's saying, Ya Rahim, then will I throw him into hell? Go, send him into paradise. Everything's finished. Save him. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So my brothers, such a great fact. And our biggest enemy, will he leave us? Our biggest enemy, he will bring you to Salah, to the Masjid, he'll take you to Medina, he'll take you to Makkah, he'll make you do Tawaf. But remember this one point, that he, your enemy, will not let you develop this emotion inside you, that Allah's rahmah, mercy, always be hopeful in Allah's mercy. He won't allow you to have this feeling. The biggest enemy Shaitan, our enemy has with us, is that don't let him develop this feeling, that even after death, he will be saved, that even from the door of Jahannam, this will save him. So then, he, instead of this feeling that I told you that we should always have this 100% emotion and feeling and regard that Allah will take us out of the hardship, then Shaitan injects waswas against this. He develops waswas against this fact. How can this be? He says to you, you're finished. You are destined to lose. You are destroyed, he teaches us. How Allah won't save you? Allah will destroy you. You're sinful. So what does he do? He makes us hopeless. Hopeless. And today our whole generation has lost hope totally. There are obviously those who don't believe, they have no hope. But those who believe, who have iman, they do ibadat. They worship, they consider Allah as their Lord, they follow the path to worship Allah. But they fall into the trap of shaitan. Little bit of a problem, they get upset. They lay down their tools. And they give up. They start shaking. They forget what they are and what they're meant to be doing. Is this not the case? So this is Shaitan's methodology, and he's totally attacking us in this way, that I want to withdraw this yaqeen and faith from this believer to have hope in Allah's mercy. Why? Because when a person develops this Muslim, this incident I shared with you just now, this story, when you have this emotion and permanent feeling that Allah will take you away from Jannah. I remember an incident, an event of Bani Israel, so that we can totally revise this lesson today. Another event, it was the generation of Bani Israel. Musa alayhi salam was the prophet. MashaAllah, he was a great Nabi. He had his own style, because the walis of Allah and the prophets, they have their unique style. He was Kaleem Allah. He spoke to Allah. So, in one city, there was a bandit. A bandit, you know, criminals, what can you do when there's a criminal in the town? He can do what he wants, he'll pester you, he will pester the population, the criminal, gangster. And the people in that town, they were fed up with him. Who can take revenge on him or fight him? Because the Sharif people, the respectful people, they step back, they give up on the bandit, the criminal. They let him carry on. And they were so fed up with this criminal, the people of the town, because people get fed up, don't they? There's criminality, there's crime, people get fed up, they start complaining. Obviously, yes, and they get desperate. They said, Yaar, let's look for a way out. This criminal, Yaar, he's made life hard for us. Because the criminal, he has shaitan with him. He'll destroy homes, he'll destroy people, he'll take this person's sakina, this person's peace. And he runs after respectful people, the criminal. Yes, because the criminal, the respectful person doesn't reply. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala says that this is the hukum, that when somebody pesters you, say salam, that please don't go towards the jahil people. He's a jahil. Don't try to challenge him. Just say, be gone with you. If he speaks nonsense, ignore him. The Quran teaches us this to the respectful, good people, to the pious people. Don't try to face off with him, because in your life you'll have criminals and bandits. Don't just grab his neck and fight, and don't reply with a swear. Say, fine, you go your way. We are not going to say anything to you. Sometimes you have to use that tact. Leave him. Allah knows best and he knows best. Be gone with you. So now, the people of the town, the locality, they're fed up. They said, it's hard for us to live. So they went and complained to the Nabi, to Musa alayhi salam. They said, please do something about this man. We're fed up with this person, this criminal. He's made life hard for us in the town, in the city. So Musa alayhi salam, he went to Allah. Allah Ta'ala immediately said that, take him out of the town. This is the reality of such people. These are the punishments that come upon them. When they pester the humans, Allah said, take him out of the town. Musa said, get out of the town, get out of this city. He expelled him from the city. Then he went to another town. And there he made noise and corruption. Allah said, expel him from this town as well. Three towns he was expelled. He had nowhere to live now. Nowhere to go. Three towns, three cities. He had run out of dwellings. Then there was an old hill, and he went into the cave and he sat there. And he sat there, he became ill, no food, no water, nothing to drink, nothing to eat. Everything's gone. Allah Ta'ala's punishment had started on him. He became ill. He became ill. He was about to die. And he was about to die suddenly, and then he started to speak. He said, I'm finished now, I'm going to die. Zulm on me, oppression, injustice, what do I do? Hi, if today my father was with me, then how much assistance I would have received, he would have looked after me. Now he's looking at the scenes. If today my mother was with me, she would have loved me, and she would have looked after me, she would have sat next to my head, and pressed my legs, and pressed my forehead. If my wife was with me today, what have I done? What have I lost? Why did I do stupid actions? Because insan, the regret comes, doesn't it? The remorse, the regret. A time comes, that person, he regrets. Why did I do this in my life? The human being, when he murders, when he gets a punishment, he's thrown in the cell, then he regrets. How did I commit this action? Why did I commit murder? Because at that time, shaitan's with him. Jinnat are with him when he commits the crime. But when he's detached, and the cloud of shaitan and jinns go, then the regret comes into that person. He starts to shake. He said, oh, if my wife was with me, how good it would have been. Oh, if my child was with me today, then today when my janazah was be carried, at least they would have done dua for me. At least they would have asked for forgiveness and maghfirah. He's saying this, crying, screaming. Nobody listening to him. He's in the cave alone. And he's listening, and he's thinking, and he's crying. Crying, crying, crying. And then he said one word. He said, oh my Mawla, my Lord, you are listening to everything. Subhanallah. He came to the reality. He said, you know everything. You are Khabir, Basir. Allah, you are listening to my call. My father's far, my mother's far, my children are far. Everything is far. But Allah, I have one request to you, Allah. Please don't take me far from your mercy. Allah, subhanallah. And he's crying out to Allah's mercy. And Allah's rahmah, he had hope in it. He was hopeful of Allah's mercy. Then the scene switched. Allah's rahmah immediately came into being for that insan. Imagine that person. Imagine, should we ever lose hope now? Tell me, after learning this, should we ever think negatively? Small, small test exams in life, small, small hurdles, we start crying. Yes, even our discussion points are weird. How are you? Oh, alhamdulillah. We start crying in the reply. We're complaining. We're replying to the salam, and we're complaining. We're saying, I'm grateful to Allah, but it's just okay, I can't say much, you know. Just getting by. Imagine our method of being grateful to Allah, it's through complaint utterance. How's your health? Oh, what can I say to you? Just struggling through, alhamdulillah. We say like this. Imagine. Ajib, weird complaints. From morning till evening, we take a deep breath, and who are we complaining to? It's not about health. It's not about business has gone down. It's not about the shop or the business has collapsed or our condition. Directly we're complaining to Allah. Telling. Then we say, Allahu Akbar. After that. And we pray Salah as well at the same time. The person, Allah the Creator, we're complaining to. And we are doing ibadah too. Imagine the clash here. We are raising our hands to pray. And we're complaining. Do you understand what I'm saying or you don't understand what I'm saying? So what kind of two-faced life is this telling me? Two-faced life. The Rabb you are standing in front of, at least have belief and faith. Whatever you're asking, He'll give to you. Subhanallah. Whatever you ask, He'll give to you. Whatever you desire, you will receive. At least have this much yaqeen in your Rabb, in your Lord. At least have this hope and desire. That Allah, Rabb has said, whatever desire and hope you have, I'll give to you, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes, but our hopes and desires are negative. Oh, this can't happen. I can't get this. I'm sick. He can never be cured. You know, if you go to meet someone sick, when you leave, oh, no, no, that's the end of time for him. He can never be cured. He's gone. He's a goner. Astaghfirullah. Baddua. Yeah, so we meet him, the sick person, we leave and say, oh, he's a goner. He can, oh, no, this business has collapsed. He can't regain any takings on this one. Oh, his child, he's a goner. Oh, this man, he's lost now. He's astray. He's off the path. He can never come back. Oh, he's finished. He can never come back. Total baddua negativity. Allah Ta'ala says, that same person, that person who is rejected from the whole world, this is the individual who calls out to Allah and becomes a human being. Immediately, Allah Ta'ala elevates that person. The people of the world rejected him. Why? Because he had the hope and the desire. After everything, the most dirty and impure person who comes to a pious person, and he has a desire. The wali, he thinks that Allah, if you have sent this person to me, then I'll work on him and he'll depart as a good person. And subhanAllah, when the wali Allah has that positive feeling towards the student, then the student can never leave empty-handed. Keep on coming, keep on sitting, keep on coming. Keep on sitting. Doesn't matter how much shaitaniyat is inside you. Doesn't matter how much nonsense. But keep on sitting in the company of the wali Allah. Don't leave his door. Just keep on remembering his company. Doesn't matter how much waswasa comes, negative shaitan comes, negative thoughts come. Consider the shaitan. Remember I told you before, that shaitan works most on our thoughts and our mindset and ideology to make a negative. Don't let shaitan win over this battle. Don't. Doesn't matter how much waswasa comes in your mind. Shaitan says, oh, your sheikh, he talks rubbish about your sheikh, makes you think rubbish against your sheikh. But keep going back to your sheikh's company. That don't take me back from this station, Allah. Eventually my negative thoughts will go and the waswasa will go, inshallah. Inshallah. In this case, the mujahidah I did myself, the effort I made, I cannot tell you in words. When Allah Ta'ala introduced me to my Hazrat Sahib, I'm sharing with you a personal experience now. Personal. When Allah introduced me to my Shaykh, Hazrat Sahib, then the biggest issue, the thing is when we go to Wali Allah's company, the biggest objective is you want to attain peace. Say, subhanAllah. Subhanallah. And listen to what I'm saying is something to listen to. What do you go with? A desire. When you go to a wali Allah's company, that Allah want to attain peace. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَكُمْ بِشَيْمٍ وَلَا خُوفٍ وَالْجُوِ. Allah says, but nobody knows that where Allah Ta'ala is attained. Nobody knows. And my sukoon was destroyed when I went there. My peace. Imagine this. What I'm saying to you. I became half mad, you could say. I was upset. I was not content. There was a big contrast that came into my life. There was a test, an examination. That after coming out of that exam, that's when I saved myself. Subhanallah. Yes, one thing I instilled in my mind, that Allah, I had total 100% hope that I will get from your mercy the solution to this. And Allah Ta'ala seated me there in the company of my Shaykh. And in Hazrat Sahib's company, I would sit there in the majalis, in the gatherings. Everything was good. But I was sweating there, doubts and wasawis and negative thoughts in Hazrat's company. There's no peace here. I'm not getting contentment. I'm not getting satisfaction. What's the benefit of saying it? That even if I die, though, I thought at the same time, even if I'm a shaheed, but this is the right path. But my hope, that is, my desire is that rahmah, mercy will come from the company of my teacher. This is a personal example I'm giving to you. And how long was I tested for like this? 2 weeks, 3 weeks now? 4 years this test and examination. 4 years I was in this examination. Subhanallah. But when the veil was removed, Allahu Akbar, when the test was passed, the veil gets removed. I told you this. Then Allah's rahmah immediately comes. Immediately comes. I give this example. They never lose hope in Allah. This man, how many negative thoughts come? Waswa of shaitan. And especially in the company of the wali Allah, you get many negative thoughts in the start, in the beginning. That shaitan pushes you and wants to chuck you out of that gathering. And today there are many excuses that a student has against a sheikh. But when you get a sheikh like this, who in the realm of ilm, he has no rank, Quran and hadith, people don't give him regard, he has no technical knowledge. But just one thing, just have one understanding, that he has the connection with the sanad of walis of Allah. How great are those people who attach themselves. Look, Haji Sahib Rahmatullah, who was he? And look, Hazrat Rashid Gangohi, who was Mulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, someone there. They were his students. Were they, was Hazrat Haji Sahib anything compared to his students? In terms of knowledge, did they not get waswasas? His students, were they not upset? Many, many, some people said to them, these great scholars, why do you go to this sheikh? Look at him and look at you. Why do you go to him for learning? But subhanAllah, as I said to you, big tests and exams come. Negative thoughts against the sheikh. An alim going to a ghair non-alim sheikh, and he had such a high rank, and they accepted that whatever we get will attain from the feet of our sheikh. I am wrong, he's right, they said. The great scholars were the students, but they said, we are wrong, he's right. Is this not a test? Of course it is. Yes? And they said, yes, you are right. But after attaining the sohbat of my sheikh, Hazaji Sahib became Ashraf Ali Thanvi. Or he said, I became Rashid Amagongi. Otherwise we'd never achieve that. We were alims. But what we've become now, nobody could attain this rank without the sohbat of the sheikh. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. So sometimes Allah enables this, that Allah Ta'ala elevates the ulama ikram, the respected scholars. Is this a small test? That mashallah, you are sat in a great majlis, your muftis and scholars. Who's your sheikh? Who is this person? Oh, him. He's your sheikh. But you've got ilm. He's not a graduate from any darul uloom. He has got knowledge. And when you say openly, he's my sheikh though. And to praise your sheikh like that, openly, is this not a test? Say, subhanallah is a test. Subhanallah. So don't people do this? But if they did this, then in comparison to that, my Hazrat, subhanallah, he made my life. Just like Rashid Ahmad Gogi said, Haji Sahib, the great, fantastic, Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib, went to Saharanpuri Sahib. Subhanallah. Hazrat Saharanpuri, and he was the ustad of my teacher, Hazrat Saharanpuri Sahib, was the teacher of my sheikh. Hazrat Saharanpuri was the ustad, teacher of my sheikh. And my ustad is also he as well, subhanAllah. So imagine now that how Allah Ta'ala connects the ulama, such great ulama, to their sheikh. Who did he have a connection with? SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala enabled them, and the sohbat Allah gave. Yes, that my sheikh is Hazrat, my Hazrat Sahib, and his ustad is Saharanpuri Sahib. Look how close I am to him. You hear their names, but I've taken the direct connection. I've taken the mazah, the enjoyment of his sohbat, subhanAllah. That Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, said that when I was there at my teacher's company, Saharanpuri Sahib, I used to study the sabak, the lesson, Dora Hadith, with Hazrat Sheikh and Hazrat Yahya Sahib, mashallah. who was the father of Hazrat Sahab, and he said, we used to learn Bukhari there, and Dora Hadith we did there. So Hazrat Sahab, where did the food come from? He said, my food would come from Hazrat Sahrampuri Sahab's home. Imagine the noor of his life, tell me, my Sheikh. Imagine the noor of his company. And he, if he gave me the food from his hand, and imagine how that piece of food was that he fed to me. And that's why we're alive today. This evil, the generation we're in, the negative thoughts. Can a person be saved from the negativity of this era that we're in? Tell me. So, have the positive frame of mind. Positive frame of mind. First of all, shaitan attacks your mindset, your ideology. So, when you have a connection with the Wali Allah, shaitan will attack you. Brahman, any maqam, any place, don't be distressed. If you are stood on the path of Allah, then Allah's rahmah mercy, never lose hope in Allah's mercy. Never lose hope in Allah's mercy. Doesn't matter if distress comes, you got upset, down, you're nothing, you're weak, you're a sinner, you'll be finished, you can't achieve nothing, you're not a human being, you got nothing in your life, you're a loser, you're a goner. Doesn't matter what it is you say, oh shaitan, I don't care at all, because these old tests and examinations Allah has given, they are temporary, but I will never lose hope in my life, not today, tomorrow, not the day after, inshallah, inshallah, I will not leave the court of this wali of Allah, and I'm not going to be a failure. I'm not going to be a failure. This is sabak lesson, my friends, of today. Do you understand today's lesson? Yes. That don't lose the positive hope. Don't lose the hope in Allah's mercy. Allah will take you out of the test. So that incident of Bani Israel, yes, that man. That look at his positive hope and how it came in benefit to him. So when he said, oh Allah, at that time he was giving up. He had nothing. He said, Allah, I have hope in your mercy. That you will not detach me from your mercy. And he was lying down in the cave and said this. Allah said, you are still thinking like this. In this stage, this desperateness to the ultimate final stage, call out to your Lord with positive hope. Don't detach yourself. Don't distance yourself from Allah's rahmah. Never lose hope in Allah's rahmah. When he called out in the cave, Allah said, oh, my servant is calling me. Immediately, Allah Ta'ala gave instruction to the angels. Allah ordered the angels that in the form of his mother arrived there, in the form of his wife arrived there, and the children, the slaves, the ghulams of Jannah, go in the form of his children and arrive there, subhanallah, to his company. Allah ordered the angels in the form of his father, all of his near relative kin, and they were sat there giving him hope and regard. He suddenly became happy, subhanallah. In the cave he's happy, oh, my wife's arrived, my children have arrived, my father's come, and I'm dying, and they're doing dua for my maghfirah, they'll pray for my forgiveness. And he saw them with happiness. He recited the kalima, and he assigned himself to Allah. He passed away. And they were angels who were sent there, and they had to return to Allah. What happened then? Then the Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, was given order. Imagine the whole world was shaken by this man. And his hope and his mercy. And not him, he was imprisoned in the cave with Allah's order. What happened to him at the end of time? And he was, we're not such big sinners, are we? Even then, say subhanAllah, we're not as bad as that. Are we? Even then we believe in Allah, we sit in dhikr, we have beards, mashallah, we are imamas. Doesn't matter what we are, we're not as bad as that. Okay, a few whispers of shaitan, we'll get rid of them as well, inshallah. Yes, why should we lose hope? Why? So then, Musa alayhi salam was ordered, Allah said, Musa, look at Allah's words. Musa, my friend has just passed away, subhanAllah. My friend has passed away, Allah said. Who is saying this? Allah Rabbul Kareem is saying, not a normal man, he was such a criminal. What did Allah say? Musa Allah said, Allah, your friend, which friend of yours? He's in a cave. Allah said, yeah, in this cave he's died. Go there, give him the shroud, bathe him, and read his janazah prayer. Allahu Akbar, hukam of Allah. Allah said, my order to you, Musa. Musa alayhi salam, Nabi of his time, imagine. He responded, who will be this friend of Allah who's hidden from my knowledge? What a big man he must be. What a big man he must be. So with preparation, Musa alayhi salam went. When he arrived to that cave and he saw that man, he said, huh? This man? One town, second city, third city, he was expelled, rejected from the population. And Allah is defining him as a friend. Allah is sending me to shroud him and to bathe him. And then he stepped back suddenly out of thought. Maybe have I come to the wrong place here? He thought, subhanAllah. Have I come to the wrong place here? Then he put himself together. Musa, you've come correctly. Correctly. At this moment of time, there can be no greater friend of Allah than this. You are the Prophet, but there's no greater friend than this at this moment in time. Your Rabb has defined him as friend. that Allah is calling him back and he's telling his Nabi to prepare him. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Do you understand? Whoever says, understands what I'm saying? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Now, he pulled himself together, prepared, bathed him, shrouded him, and his funeral. And he assigned him, handed him over to Allah. Now Musa alayhi salam saw that Allah, something, please make me understand, subhanAllah. Musa alayhi salam, he said, Allah, please clarify something. What is it, Musa? Allah said, why are you upset? He said, Allah, this was that man, this is the same face of that man that you told me to expel him, and today you are telling me to do this with him. Eventually, how did this occur? What happened? Oh, subhanAllah. Allah said, one word changed everything. What was that word, Allah? He said, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. When he said this, O Musa, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, immediately my mercy jumped to his aid. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. What a great kalima. Whoever wants his prayers accepted, say 5 times before your dua this. 5 times. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Totally Allah's mercy will be attentive to you. And then beg and be desperate once. All your life until your dua is not accepted, say this in advance of your dua, inshallah will give them more than this. Allah will give to you more than this. Subhanallah. You have to learn how to ask, but we know how to complain. We know how to complain and cry to Allah, but at least learn how to ask from Allah and attach yourself to Allah. Just like a child, he sticks. Mother doesn't always give to the child. Mother, will she always give chocolate? Never will she always give chocolate. She'll slap, push the child back, doesn't always say, go, go. Oh, I'm not going to give to you, I'm not going to make this for you today. Thousands of children, they're like this. Mother doesn't always give up, succumb to the child. Sometimes they get slaps or beads or pushed away. Children fight and they quarrel, but she doesn't. But our Rabb, subhanAllah, Allah, Lord, if you ask, definitely He will give. Definitely He will give. You should run to Allah. Allah says, run to me, attach yourself to me, keep begging from me. Fall down in my court. Because the mother loves it when the child cries and pleads, and she purposely delays in giving. She likes it. The child is begging, crying, and pulling her hair, and hugging her, and pulling on her clothes. She loves this action from the child. So our Rabb, who loves many, many millions of times more than the mother loves the child, Allah loves us. Imagine how much, if Allah gives pain first, and after pain, Allah says, come to me, beg from me, I like it that you ask from me. SubhanAllah. So develop this connection with Allah. Develop this commission. Yes, if your mother, father, there's tests, difficulties, issues, problems, what do? First and foremost. First and foremost, complain. We repeat those problems we got. All the problems, we repeat them in the court of Allah. Make one lesson, learn today, solid. When you have problems, someone asks you, how are you? First of all, forget all your issues at the time. And look towards Allah's rahmah, say, alhamdulillah, Allah's mercy. Everything's great. My stomach's good. My eyes are good. My body's good. I'm healthy. I'm strong. Just a little bit of a fever. That will go, no problem. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. First mention those things that Allah's given to you. But we remember those things. Oh, I haven't got this. Or this has happened to me. That's happened to me. He said this. First we do this. In du'as we cry first. Allah, you've done this to me. You haven't given this to me. I can't sleep at night. You don't let me walk. I can't do this. This has been taken from me. All the complaints first in the du'as. And Allah's rahmas and mercies that He's given to us, what about them? The ni'mas Allah's given to us. The treasures. Treasures. There was a person, great rank, he had high rank. High rank. 50 years, Allah gave him life. And extreme ibadah he did. Extreme worship. Allah said to him, go, give him good news that I have forgiven you. SubhanAllah. He was given that, the instruction was given, that go and give the news. So the angels came and said, Allah Ta'ala said, I've forgiven you to that man. And he said, forgiven me? Forgive me? All life long I haven't committed a sin. What do you mean forgiven? Imagine his response. He said, I haven't committed a sin all life long. So this wasn't for forgiveness. What do you mean forgiveness? I'm forgiven anyway. They said, is it? Angels went back. Allah said, that close one of his veins. Close one of his veins. When his vein was closed, artery, then he understood. Then the angel came. He said, is any pain? Then he said, oh. And they said, 50 years of ibadah. Can it open up this vein artery? Now tell me what you can do. Tell us. Tell us. He said, I ask Allah for forgiveness. I spoke out of the wrong way. So my brothers,
We first start with the complaints when we do dua, Allah, Allah, you took this, the first Allah is Rahman, Allah, you are enabling me, let me live, I'm dirty, impure. Despite my dirt, I shouldn't even be in this world, I'm so impure, I'm sinful. Allah, you should make me a monkey, a swine, a pig. I have no status. Despite this, Allah, you give me food to eat. Allah, I have no iman, and I'm the worst of the munafiqs, Allah. Allah, I read this Quran and I act against the Quran. Allah, I prostrate to you and I complain to you. This is how we should speak. Allah, your ni'mas, your treasures, your mercies, your fadal, your grace, your blessings, I am living upon that. All praise to Allah. And then imagine what you're going to return. But at least we should this. Don't become too brave. Oh, okay, I've got a bit of pain. Allah, you've given this, no problem. Even this, you will respond to me with your mercy and greater things. Is there not a difference now in the utterance and the belief? This is the belief and emotion we should develop. Always be hopeful in Allah's mercy. Positive thinking. So my brothers, we have understood the point that developing the positive thinking, this is the greatest ibadah and worship. To have positive hope in Allah's mercy, and that Allah's mercy, this is more powerful than everything else. Allah's mercy is more and all powerful, and it will not take us to Jahannam. Rather, Allah has created us for Jannah, for paradise, and Allah's mercy will take us to paradise. Yes, but to develop this thinking and emotion, very simple way to develop this, very easy way to develop this thinking and mindset. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen, Allah says, subhanAllah. That already those people who are on this platform and have this way of thinking, who are alive to this way of life and thinking and actions, that every second that person's life reflects this, subhanAllah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha, their life passes on this. They have nothing to eat, alhamdulillah. They never complain in their life. Until today, Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, I never heard a complaint. Even I saw his desperate times. I saw once, we were in Makkah, subhanAllah. And few days, Hazrat Sahib hadn't even eaten. And he was trembling with fever. And even today, I have that prescription that I brought, I ran. Today, 70, 80 years, but I looked after that prescription. I touch it, I kiss it, that prescription, subhanAllah. That I brought that medicine for Hazrat Sahib when he had fever. He was ill. These are points of love, isn't it, brothers? Points of love. This is not that I say that. I say ibadah, nothing, just muhabbat. When you love somebody, then everything of his, you love that. You love that. SubhanAllah. But do that, love somebody. Love somebody. Everything of his, you'll start loving. SubhanAllah. His street, his locality, his name, his town. Believe me, Dera Ghazi Khan, I used to live. SubhanAllah. But when I had a connection with Hazrat Sahib, when I used to go to Hazrat Sahib, then the taxi wala said to me, what's happened to you? He was amazed that I used to be screaming in my town. I used to be crying. One night when I departed from Multan to go and meet Hazrat Sahib, then it was night time and the moon on the 14th night, even today I can see that scene, and we were passing the river of sin, say subhanAllah. The river of sin, then the moon was out, full moon, the river glowing, and Hazrat Sahib's face everywhere I could see it. SubhanAllah. Such a feeling overcame me of my love for my Sheikh, that taxi wala, he stopped, he said, Hazrat Sahib, who are you? Who are you? Whose guest are you? Where are you going? I said, Yaar, leave me to my being, just take me to my destination, that's it. SubhanAllah. So this is love, is a great achieved thing indeed. That is Allah's love indeed, actually. That such people, liars like us, fraudsters. Imagine the truthful people who have true love for Allah. What will be their status and emotion? That if you have love for a wali Allah, at least love him. At least have regard and respect for him. Then there should be no dunya in between. Not one inch of dunya in between. Just one thing should be there. Just love. Allah should be there between you and the wali of Allah. That's a no second thing at all. No second thing at all. So there's so much to say. There's so much to say, and I will conclude on this. May Allah Ta'ala improve all of our way of thinking and emotions and faith. And this is a tariqah. Go and sit in with the pious people. Sit with the pious people who already has this positivity. Then that will reflect onto you in your life automatically. That positivity will come to you, inshallah. That positive way, the positive thinking, Allah's mercy, you'll be hopeful in, and you'll be grateful. Servant of Allah, on everything Allah gives, you'll be grateful. Every examination and test, because they're all tests in the world. All tests and exams. To oppose that, you'll get assistance from the biggest test you will come out with. What? Due to the hope in Allah. You will pass all the tests, Allah. You will take me out of this predicament. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sayyidu rushmi.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه ياسين وحبيب المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأومتنا على الإيمان وأشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي المراد اشف مرادنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا اله الا انت ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الله يهو منهم والأموات برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين
آمين.